And
I don't take money for teaching. We figured out that if people did were capable of giving $3, that would be more than enough to cover our rent. But if you can't, don't worry about it at all. And if you can give $5, you're supporting somebody else's practice who can't afford anything. So, but don't let it cause any stress. If you can't give, if you can, that's great. And that's about it. So, the Four Noble Truths that there is stress in life, no news, that there's a cause for the stress we experience in life, that there's an ending to this unnecessary stress that we cause ourselves, and that there's a path to accomplish that. Most people just learn those Four Noble Truths, but they don't know that the Buddha actually had four actions or responsibilities or verbs that came along with those four truths. They weren't meant to be things that we memorized. They were actually meant to be things that we put into action. They were supposed to be tools that we use. With the first noble truth, the Buddha said, in life, there's old age, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, grief, despair. Isn't this sad? There's a lot of sadness in it. There's being separated from the things we like and the people we love, and then there's being stuck with the things we don't like and the people we really don't love. And then there's the little discomforts, and there's the just not getting what we want, he said. So there's, it comes in a lot of flavors, but the action that comes along with this is, the Buddha said, we have to see, we have to witness, we have to discern where there is stress in our lives. We have to actually become aware of it. Now, that sounds kind of odd. It would seem, A, well, most people would be aware, we think, of if there's stress and suffering in their life. And B, the second part of the question would be, well, why should I really even want to pay attention to it? It's uncomfortable. In fact, a lot of the things we choose in life are distractions so that we don't have to become aware of all the stresses of jobs, paying the bills, relationships, things we can't control. There was no time in the history of America where movies were more per capita popular than during the Great Depression, because there was, let's face it, a lot to be worried about. So it's part of the mind's native training to not want to see that there's stress. It wants to run away from it and to latch onto something that's more fun so that we don't have to. I remember back a quarter of a century ago when I was quite the young little addict, and my friends and I were overjoyed to hear our favorite dealer had returned with a new stash of goods that had a great reputation. And we were thrilled. And it would not have occurred to me at the time, if you looked at my life, that I was completely unaware that this news meant that, A, I had to find a lot of money that I didn't have to spend on something I really didn't need, that was going to last a very short period of time. And if you had looked at me, my jaw would have been clenched, I would have been sweating, I would have been telling you what a great time I was having. And if any of you ever work with people who are fresh into sobriety, people who are just clean and dry, it's amazing how unaware they are of how much stress there is in their lives. When they come in, they think, oh, it's just the drinking. But then you hear the story of what's going on in the rest of their lives, and it's all a mess.
If you, I work in, I'm in, to pay my bills, I'm an art director, which means I go into a lot of design firms or advertising agencies to pick up work. And when you go there, there are people who are walking around from years of stress, like the Walking Dead. It's literally like, oh my God, that's horrifying. Do you know what you look like? And they're like, it's really important that you get this done by tomorrow. It's really important. It's really important. And you're looking at them repeating themselves, pale, you know, their bodies rigid from years and years of accumulated stress. And if you ask them, which I have, little stressed out there. No, I just got a deadline. There's nothing wrong. This is easy, in fact. Thing you should have seen it last week. I'm like, no, I really shouldn't have seen it last week. That's all right. So how do we tell when there's stress that we're not acknowledging? Well, the first thing is when you sit and you try to meditate, A, the body, of course, is really uncomfortable and you won't have been aware of it. You'll be like, oh my God, is my stomach really all that tight all the time? Are my shoulders really up like this all the time? Is there this knot in my throat all the time? Also, of course, the mind will not want to relax because it's got so much, you know, spinning to it that the mind will just want to race around. When there's discomfort and stress and agitation in our lives, the mind just does not want to settle down. It doesn't want to get peaceful. And also, a couple of other ways to tell when there's stress that we're not seeing is when we suddenly want to act out on old addictions. You ever had one of those times when suddenly out of the blue you want to smoke a cigarette, even though it's been years since you quit? Or suddenly, one night, people who do drink, suddenly they tie one on and they're, why did I do that? Why did I get so drunk? You know, I wasn't planning on it. Or if we're not using, it could be other sources of stress-reducing behavior that suddenly flare up. Suddenly we catch ourselves spending a lot, much more than we should be spending. Why did I buy this? You know, it was like I was in a trance. I bought those shoes. I don't need those shoes. I have nothing that matches with those shoes. And they're far beyond any amount of money that I should be spending on shoes or whatever. And, of course, then there's just that general obsessive mind. If we trip on something and it starts spinning around in the mind, we know that there's in the background this worry, and we've just been avoiding it. And when we do touch on it, suddenly we feel the flare-up of the tight stomach or the shoulders or whatever. So you get it. There's often this presence that we're not aware of. And the beauty of meditation is that it's the quickest way to see, and the easiest way not only to see but to work with, the fact that there's this underlying stress that we're not acknowledging or that we know that's there, but we don't really want to face it. And the problem is that stress has severe, severe tolls that it takes. I'm not going to go into all of it, but the health effects from the absolute destructive effect it has on the immune system, to cardiovascular problems, to ulcers, to they're now looking at relationship between stress and cancer, because when there's stress, we overproduce red blood cells and underproduce white blood cells and underproduce T cells. So, and then on top of that, there's an enormous correlation, of course, between stress and mental illness. So it's not something to play around with. And not only that, we weren't really, I think our goals when we set out in our lives weren't, wow, I really hope that I'll make a lot of money and accomplish a lot, but fuck it if I'm stressed out my entire life. It's not a real good goal. So once we see and discern, then the second part is to note where the cause is, which the Buddha says is we're over-entangled in the world in the wrong places. We're craving and attaching
to things that are not the right solution. We're believing that, oh, if only I got this job perfect, or this relationship perfect, or if I got this home situation perfect, or if only my family were in a mess, or if only I had this or I had that. We become over-entangled in the world, and we're not seeing that the real stress is within. We're carrying it inside of us. It's something that is not actually caused by the world. In fact, the human brain is set up to stress and worry. It takes a lot of effort to train it to not stress and worry. And one of the principal ways it causes its stress and worries is by getting over enmeshed in things that we have no control over, or things that are never going to bring us lasting peace. Now, that's not to say that in life we can't have good jobs and careers, we can't have good relationships, we can't have good friendships, we can't have productive relationships with our parents. All of these things are perfectly reasonable things to work towards, but there's a difference between becoming over-entangled and being willing to let go. Difference between suffering and having a constructive relationship with the world is when we're willing to let go. When we've done the best we can, but we are willing to see, okay, I've said what I've had to say, I've done today's work, I've put the effort in, now I'm letting go. The areas where we can't let go, where the mind still grasps and still wants to figure it all out, and still wants to attach and somehow control and get a different outcome. Those are the areas where there's craving, where there's clinging. Those are the areas where there's the cause of our stress that we often don't even see how much it's there. So the Buddha said, once we see that, it's our obligation to relinquish or to some degree get distance from these things that we're over-entangled with, whether it's our careers, our friendships, things we're trying to attain. And there's different ways to do that. We can simply observe until we really see how stressful they are. We can stay with the breath and the body while we work and notice how much it pulls us away from keeping the body relaxed and the breath relaxed. We can learn to greet obsessive worries after we've done the best we can and we should let go. We can learn to greet these worries, say hello to them, but say then, it's all right that you're there, but I'm not going to get caught up with you. It's also perfectly okay to write out these obsessions, these worries, these over-entanglements without interrupting them. Sometimes we don't see how truly riddled with fear they are until we write them all out. I've told the story many times about how I was years and years and years ago afraid of asking for a break from my job, a vacation, and when I wrote out the fears, it turned out that my fear would be if I did get a vacation, my boss would notice how little I worked. I would get fired. I'd never get another job. I'd wind up homeless on the streets, where I'd get killed. So asking for a vacation was a life-threatening endeavor. And it wasn't until I wrote it all out that I became aware of that. There's also the tools of simply putting it aside and taking care of ourselves, making sure that we're sleeping, eating, practicing, focusing on the other things we need to do in our lives, exercising, etc. All these tools, gaining distance, avoiding certain things, putting things down. Einstein said that when he had a problem, the way he solved it was not think at it. He'd actually put it down and take a walk on the beach. That's how he solved his biggest conundrums, by putting them down. And when he returned, he had a different perspective on the problem. Sometimes, of course, the problems are simply that we're taking too many things for granted that aren't for granted. But those are some of the tools. So that's my 12-minute talk. And now I'm going to turn this off.